We're up to daf mem dalet pasuk habez. I have a cold. My voice is a little deep. The shir is shallow, but my voice is deep. Okay, daf mem dalet pasuk habez. We're in the middle of learning about mem dalet habez. We are in the middle of learning about the laws of the Kohanim. Yecheskel is telling us the role, their mission, and their clothing and their behavior. Okay, some of these tzukim are actually, again, these tzukim in general are well known because this parak is the Haftarah Parashas Emor. So it's well known. It's different. A lot of the tzukim should be, and we mentioned last week is that we don't skip this Haftarah. Always read. Unlike many other Haftaros, which are they fall out during other time, certain times of the year when it's the Dal Parshios or it's Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Parsh Emor is pretty steady. It's a steady Haftarah, so we pretty much know it. Everyone over here, everyone summit rings in their head whether they realize it or not. Unless you don't pay it, unless you go to the Kiddush Club. You go to the Kiddush Club, I can't help you for that. Or if you daven in a chassidish shtibol, where they don't say it, where everyone davens it up, so therefore that's unfortunate, then you don't really get an appreciation of the haftarah. But if you go to a regular shul, where they say the haftarah and you listen carefully, so then these psukim should be very familiar. Pasuk Habez goes further and says, Alman u'grusha lo yikhu lohem l'nashim. They may not take for themselves an alman u'grusha, they may not take l'nashim, kim besulos mizera beis Yisrael, only a besula. V'ho almana, asher ti almana, Mikohen yikachu, but an almana from an almana you can take. Very bizarre. Now, if we're discussing a kohen gadol, take this pasuk before you see the mafarshim. Take this pasuk at face value. This pasuk is shloik halacha because a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana no matter what. Does not make a difference if the almana is the almana from a kohen or the almana is the almana from a kohen or from a yisrael. An almana is off limits to a kohen. If we deal what? Or a
Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol, right. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. It does not make a difference. It does not make a difference who she was married to. If she was married to a Yisrael or she was married to a Kohen. If we're dealing with Kohanim Hedyotos, ordinary Kohanim, then they are permitted to marry Almanas. So this pasuk is a very, when you look at the pasuk at face value, before you see the farshim, it's a very difficult pasuk. Does not seem to make any sense, seems to contradict what it says in the Torah. And we have a principle that in the Torah, in the future, nothing is going to change. It's one of the Ani Mamins. One of the Ani Mamins is, then the Torah is not going to change in the time of when Mashiach comes. It's not going to be a Torah Chadash, even though it says in the past, it does say it will be a Torah Chadash, but it has to be interpreted what that means. But one of the principles of the Ani Mamin is, number nine, Ani Ma'amim Bunu Shlema Zoysa Torah Lo Tsehei Mukhlefes V'loi Tsehei Torah Acheres Me'ei Sabara Yisparach Shema. So what then does this pasuk mean? And thus, because of its difficulty, in fact, as I'll say, they wanted to put the whole Sefer Yecheskel in Geniza. Okay, they wanted to bury this, the whole Sefer, because of this one pasuk. I have to read the words of Chazal exactly. They wanted to put the whole Sefer in Geniza. Let me just find it over here. No, it's not here. We'll probably see the Mefarshim. I don't have it in front of me. And
the one in Kedushin? I don't have the quote.
You have the Gemara Kedushin?
I have a citation.
What does it say? What's your citation?
Kedushin, Ayin
Hei,
it says.
Ayin Hei, that's it. Well, I think we're going to say Ayin Hei, I mean Ayin Ches. Okay, we'll see in a moment. But so until they came along, they had a struggle to figure out what exactly this means. It's very interesting is that you go through an entire Sefer, you have a person that's so good. He gives Musar, he gives Chizuk, he's a Tzaddik Yisod Olam, and just because at the very end you find one little thing that doesn't make sense to us, that creates a reaction, that we have to ban him. Put all of his works in Chayrim, and blacklist him. It's a Pella. You know, just because you have people, I mean, that's unfortunately the way it is in this world today. You have people that are very good people, and just because you don't like one little thing about them, so everything is no good about them. You're ready to throw him out, everything. It's a very unfortunate approach. But I don't know. I don't understand. But that Chazal did. The Chazal wanted to do the same thing to Yechezkel, because some of the things he says over here in these Perakim are not consistent with what it says in Chamisha Chumshe Torah, and they were skeptical. Maybe he's trying to reform the Torah, and if that's the case, he is not to be accepted. So let's see.
The same thing happened with Mendelssohn. Is there another
maybe a comparison?
They took one or two words out of it, and that was another process.
So you're right. Where do you draw the balance? Where do you? Because the truth is, there are many things that the ultra right wing Haredi world does that are not traditional.
Look at Slipkin.
They're not traditional, and yet, no one blinks. And yet, when it comes to other things, there's a certain sensitivity. So where do you draw the line?
I davened yesterday with a Chassidish yeshiva, 1:30 mincha. They didn't say tachlon. What?
I can't speak. I can't speak for them. Okay, let's see. Let's see chav beis. Let's see. It's going to be.
They're not going to say korbanos, but tachlon.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. This is their custom. L'chayva, tachlon is a reshus. Tachlon is not a chayva.
Well, seriously, by the literature, they skip korbanos to say tachlon, by chassidim is forget.
Tachlon is a reshus. It's not a chayva. So you can't have tainus when someone doesn't say tachlon.
It's not
a requirement. No, no. As far as I know, the best is a reshus. But Ma'ariv is also a reshus. So who's going to skip Ma'ariv? Right? Who's going to skip Ma'ariv? I remember this Peltic story. I read the story. A boy went out with a girl in Eretz Yisrael, and the girl, whatever, the girl was talking to the boy, and the girl, it was a long date, and it was very serious, and the girl asked the boy, like, when are you going to daven Ma'ariv? Or when did you daven Ma'ariv? When you're going to daven Ma'ariv? So the boy gave her an answer. I don't know whatever the answer was, and the girl realized that he was lying. Basically, he didn't have Ma'ariv, he lied to her about Ma'ariv. He definitely did not have Ma'ariv, and it was a question if he was even going to have Ma'ariv at all. We'll go home, we'll have Bechidus. So the father was very disturbed, and he told this to the Chazon Ish. It's a shocking story after all the details. If it's true or not, you have to know. The Chazon Ish told the father, break off the shidduch. A boy that doesn't have Ma'ariv. A boy like that, just casually, just doesn't have Ma'ariv.
Why didn't he say that get married is a deraisa and Ma'ariv is a derabbana?
I'm telling you the story. What can I tell you? That's the story. Okay, is the story true? Is it not true? You have to know the circumstances. The circumstances of the story, who the people were. Obviously, there are a million different factors. You can't generalize, but you know, just the story alone is a very powerful statement. You don't play around. Ma'ariv is Ma'ariv. Oh, Ma'ariv is a Rishus. It's only a Rishus. Yeah, it's a Rishus that we will makabel upon ourselves to do. So he's saying over here about Tachman. Tachman is a Rishus. But most of us will makabel to say Tachman. So where do you do? How does it come about not to say it? I do not have an answer. Let's see. I wonder if I'm going to make it, how long I'm going to make it with my voice. Let's see what happens today. Let's see. Rabbi Mayevsky, I think you should get into the batter's box.
Stop warming up in the bullpen.
Now. Bullpen. Let's see. Pasuk Chavez, the Almana in the Mitzudos David, the Almana v'zelka b'kayim gedolim. So the Mitzudos David right away comes to lighten the severity of this pasuk, because it says here Beloshon Rabim, and we're dealing over here with Kohanim. You see Kohanim gedolim, zelkaim gedolim, shatsuim gam be'Almana, not married Almana. Ve'enam noisim kiv v'stus olim not married Basula. Asherti Almana, return the Leimar. Shlotiyah rak Almana, avoloi nechlitza. Okay, so he's saying. We're not talking chalitza. He comes to add in that he's only now allowed to take oz. Let's see, oz mikon yikachu. So she's shalot here. She's only an almana, but she did have chalitza. Oz then mikon yikachu. Ritzon leimar nixos koyhanim mutadim ba vehem hached yoitim. Aval keshehi gam chalutza asura gam lehed yoitim. A chalutza is like a gerusha. And she is forbidden even to an ordinary kohen. The avshahu midrabanan rimaza yicheskel. So the mitzvah over here says quite a mouthful. First of all, he breaks up the pasuk from the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is describing only a kohen gadol, and then there is a sudden shift Nowhere does it say we're shifting, but that's how the Mitzudah stuff learned. We're shifting from a Kohen Gadol to a Kohen Hedyot, because a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, period. And here it says the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an Almana. But what kind of Almana? An Almana that's not a Grusha. Not a Chalutza. A Chalutza, that's the repetition of Almana. Asher Tia Almana. She is an Almana, and when Eruvin becomes an Almana, there's always a possibility that she has no children, and that her husband has no children, and she falls to Chalitza, and now there'll be Chalitza. So it says, Almana, Sherti, only an Almana. She did not undergo the process, the procedure of Chalitza. Then Mikoyin Yikahu, then she is allowed to marry, then. So what does it mean, Mikoyin?
So what's the case?
It means she's an Almana, but she has children. She's an Almana, and only an Almana. Because every Almana can potentially be a Chalutza.
Right.
Chalutza. So it's saying...
But in fact, few are.
What?
But in fact, few of them are.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Right, so it's saying those that are Chalutzas are not allowed to marry Kohanim. They're not allowed, because a Chalutza has the same status as a Gerusha. A Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to marry a Gerusha, and a Chalutza is like a Gerusha, Midrabanon, Namina Torah. Therefore, a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to marry a Chalutza. When it says here, Mikoyin Yikahu, so he doesn't really explain it very, very clearly. He just says, Ritzoyno Loimar, he says it's not to be translated literally. It means, Mixos Kohanim, meaning the Kohen Hedyot. You have to read the pasuk backwards, inside out. You have to read, and you have to somehow stretch the translation of the pasuk to mean that a kohen hedyot nixaska, not a kohen gadol yikahu, is allowed to take an almana who is not a chalutza. This is the pshat, the perush of the pasuk according to the mitzvah stavin. The beginning is a kohen gadol. The end is a kohen hedyot. The two last words, mikohen yikahu, teach us that we're dealing with a kohen hedyot, and it's the repetition almana sherti almana means only almana and not a chalutza. Rashi. Pasuk habeis ki im besulos yikachu akoyhanim hagadolim. Avol yesh min akoyhanim asher yikachu es almana ki goin head yoytin. Vezehu meikoyin yikachu yesh min akoyhanim asher mutarim ba almana. He translates the pasuk the same exact way as the mitzudos David. The last two words the pasuk meikoyin yikachu means mixas min hakoyhanim. What does it mean, mixos? It doesn't really mean, it means the vast majority. It means 99.9%. It means a kohen hedyot. They are allowed to take an almana. But what kind of almana? So now he goes backwards in the pasuk. Asher tiyam almana gimura. Oh, a complete almana prat legrusha v'chalutza. Meaning he's adding a little bit more, that sometimes you have a woman who is an almana, it's her second marriage. How did the first marriage end? Divorce. So the first marriage ended in divorce, or she's a chalutza from the second marriage. Af al pisha penuya hi, it doesn't matter. Asura af lehed yait, forbidden for hedyot.
Is that a separate category?
What do you mean?
Not really.
What?
What? An almana, a second marriage almana?
No. He just says it's not a grusha. He just adds in, and the mitzvahs did not discuss a grusha. He is saying v'almana asher ti almana, she's only an almana, not a grusha. No, it's some. Maybe the pause is coming to suggest to us the following idea: if a woman gets married, and she gets divorced. She gets divorced. Is she allowed to marry a kohen? Absolutely not.
Right. Correct.
Nothing. Maybe she can cleanse herself. How can she cleanse herself?
Okay,
she can marry a second time and kill her husband.
Okay.
She can marry a second time, kill her husband. So now she's an almana. We don't look back at the history. When she remarries a second time, let bygones be bygones. We wipe off the slate. She was ever married to her first husband. The status of Grusha falls away. So now when she's married a second time and her husband dies, so she's an almana. So now possibly she can marry a Kohen Hedyot. Rashi is coming to teach us, that's what the pasuk is telling you, don't say such a lovely shechidish. Don't be mechadish. Always people have novelties in halacha. It's an idea. Maybe a good lambda can give you 25 reasons why it should be true. When a woman marries a second time, we completely wipe away the history that she was ever married the first time. She's no longer a grusha. She's now when her second husband dies, she's an almana. So now she can marry a kohen hedyot. Kamash malan v'ho almana asher tihye almana. She is only an almana. Nothing more than almana. Not a grusha. And then she can marry a Kohen, she can marry a Kohen, Kohen Hedid. Otherwise, but if she has in her history a Grusha, or she's a Chalutza, she cannot marry a Kohen Hedid. The Metzilus made no mention of this. He made no mention of this idea of wiping away the past history. Okay.
So a woman who's a chalutza.
Yeah.
If she's 20 years old or 60 years old,
she cannot marry a kohen.
Doesn't make a difference.
Cannot marry a kohen.
Why would that be effective?
At
60 years old, she's not going to really be childbearing.
Right, it doesn't matter. She still requires chalitza, even though it's, let's say she's a 99-year-old woman, her husband dies and there are no children, and she has a 99-year-old brother-in-law. Right, so you would say, so they have to still do chalitza. There's still a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to do chalitza. If due to circumstance you can't do chalitza because it's just too hard. He's in a wheelchair, and she's in another part of the world in a wheelchair. Just too hard to bring the two together to chalitza. So then they don't do chalitza. But if they're able-bodied people, there is a mitzvah to do chalitza. There is a mitzvah. I mean, the only time you potter is an islandess, a woman who does not have the physical organs to have children. There's a difference between a woman who's past her childbearing age versus a woman who L'chatchila cannot have children. A woman who cannot have children because she does not have a rechem, she's an islandess, she doesn't have the organs to have a child, then she does not require chalitza, period. There's no chalitza whatsoever. But a woman who could have had children when she was young, and now, for whatever reason, it didn't work out, and now she's past that age, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She's still mechuyev according to halacha to have chalitza if she wishes to remarry, and even if she does not wish to remarry, it is still a mitzvah to do chalitza.
She doesn't
want to
do anything.
So then no big deal.
It's a mitzvah on who?
On her. It's a mitzvah, I think, on both, on the brother-in-law and on her. I think it's a double mitzvah, I'm not mistaken. She technically can't get married. For her to get married without chalitza, that's an iser deraisa. That's a lois asay. Losia Asia mitchutza liyzar yivam yivaleha. But let's, she doesn't want to get married. Stam, she doesn't want to get married. She's not planning on getting married. Is there still a mitzvah for her to participate in chalitza? And then, sorry, so also the husband, this brother-in-law, is there a mitzvah of him to chalitza? I believe the answer is yes. I believe we paskin the answer is yes. They do, every so often they have in the communities, they do have public chalitza ceremonies. And they're typically with these type of people that are past their childbearing age. They're like in their 70s or 80s. Young people are not, they're not there. They don't want to, they're not... They don't want to publicize. Young people, you know, it's not like very. They're not interested in being a. They don't want to hold all the publicity. But older people, so they have no problem using their situation as a learning, an experience, and as a source. And they do
teaching tool,
right? Yeah. Well, typically you hear about these cases. Every so, Mr. Axelrod told me that he was fascinated. He went a few months ago. A few months ago, they had it in Far Rockaway, I think.
Yeah, I was there.
So he said it was fascinating. He went there. They called the whole community. They put up signs.
Right.
The shul was packed, and they put up signs. They invited. It's a learning experience. And the Rav, I don't. He told me who was the one who did it, and they gave out handouts. And they went over step by step. They displayed the shoe to everyone, and they explained all the halachas. They said the bezdin is a fascinating thing. When I was in yeshiva Chaim Berlin, so we learned Masechta Yevamim, so they didn't have a real ceremony, but there was a dayan. There was someone in the yeshiva who was a dayan, and he brought the shoe, and he filled up the biggest share room, and the place was packed, standing room only. It wasn't a real ceremony, but it was like a mock ceremony. He did a mock ceremony to explain exactly how it's done, the entire procedure, mila mila. Today online, if you type it in Google, YouTube, there are probably many videos of a chalitza ceremony. A lot of them are in Hebrew. A lot of them are in Hebrew and Israelis. Some in English. So you can find online the ceremonies. Okay. I always thought the way he demonstrated, this is, he's a dayan. The way he demonstrates when she spits, So he says she doesn't spit. This is what he demonstrated it. Is that she collects saliva in her mouth,
right,
and it drools. She takes a long time. Yeah, and she's nervous, everyone is watching. She allows saliva to collect in her mouth, and in front of her brother-in-law, she lets the saliva drool down her lips.
No, Rabbi Bick made us. I was by Rabbi Bick, and he started, he was explaining everything, and he said to her beforehand, let the saliva collect in your mouth while I'm talking. And he told her to spit.
But to spit. So I told it to someone who went to a real chalita ceremony in public. I know what you're talking about. The drool. I know what you're talking about. The woman spat. She actually did spit for the real deal. Now, when you get this thing of drooling, okay, I don't know. But this is the way this was a diet. This is the way he demonstrated it. He made a very clear point. You don't spit. The way it's done is by collecting saliva, and she drools. Maybe it's because she had people, they never have to actually see the saliva. Maybe it's very hard. Maybe that's why. Because if you actually spit, can you actually see the saliva coming from the mouth in front of the yavam? Is it really possible to see so quickly? If you drool, you actually can see it. It's a process. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I story. Excuse me. Okay, let's now go on to let's go. Maybe we'll just do the Radak. Okay, let's do the Radak very quickly. The Radak goes to the Almani. Im Amar Ze Al Koyin. Yes, so the Radak over here says a very big chiddush. This touched upon the Radak in the previous pasuk we learned on Friday and Thursday, and what it said in the Malbim. The Radak is Machadish that La'os Lavo. The rules are going to change, and that's it's a chiddush. How could the rules change? How could the halachas change? But that's what it says. The Radak says maybe this pasuk is referring over here to La'asilavo, times of Mashiach, Bayishlishi, and then it's telling us that a Kohen Hegyot indeed will not be allowed to marry an Almana. Im Amar Ze Al Kohen, Yez Ze L'Tosefes Kedusha La'asid, V'hu Ki Almanas Kohen Gadol, V'afilu Kohen Hegyot, the Almana of a Kohen Gadol, V'afilu Kohen Hegyot, Yachol lekachta koyin acher. He learned the pasuk on a very, very simple note that a koyin hedyot will be allowed to marry the almana of a koyin gadol or the almana of a koyin hedyot, but will not be allowed to marry the almana of an ordinary person. That's a very chiddush. It's nowhere in the Torah you have such a subject, like no precedent for this. But he is learning. That's what it means. And when will this apply? This will kick in the time of the Bayis Shlish, time of Yecheskel. V'zeh shamar asher tia almana mikoyin yikachu. He doesn't learn like Rashi and the Mitzudos, the last two words, Mikoyin Yikachu, which are totally out of place and are used to explain that we're dealing here in the pasuk with the Kohen Hegyot. The beginning of the pasuk is discussing the Kohen Gadol, the end is discussing the Kohen Hegyot, and we're going to take these two words and out of context. No, he says, read the pasuk on a very simple level, just translate it word for word, and it's teaching you that loss of love in the Bayis Shlishi, that an ordinary Kohen Hegyot is going to be elevated to a higher Kedusha, where he'll be allowed to marry an Almana, but only an almana from a kohen gadol, an almana from a kohen hegyot, not an almana from a kohen from an ordinary yisrael. Then he goes on to say the imdaimar al kial kohen gadol diber. Then when it says in the pasuk yeh perusha mikohen yikachu, like Rashi and the Mitzudos, you have to then say that you have to translate the pasuk a little bit differently. Miksas kohanim yikachu kumayish perashi on the same zal uchumayish shatir gim yonison shaor kohana yispun hilo. The Targum as well says this. V'hinei hiniach zoyna v'chalala ki kevan shakasa b'atayro lo zohar hakol. What about a zoyna v'chalala? Why does the pasuk only mention that a koyin hedyot is not allowed to marry a grusha? What about the fact that he's not allowed to marry a zoyna v'chalala? So he says there are certain things that are obvious. It's not necessary for Yecheskel to review with us every single detail. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chav Gimel.
If Zoyna did tshuva,
doesn't matter. Once sit, doesn't make a difference. Once a woman has bia out of wedlock, she is banned. She's a zona, and he is not kind. Is not allowed to marry her. It's halacha. And that's why a giyores who okay. That's a different halacha. It's a problem even today. It's a problem today when it comes to Kohanim. It's a very big problem. Who exactly they are allowed to marry? There are different issues with Baal's tshuva. a woman who is a balas tshuva,
right,
and she wants to marry a kohen, so it's a problem. It can be a problem. Can be what exactly is her background. So these are very big issues which the big poskim can deal with. I don't have all the information for you, but I do know is that it can be a problem. Pasuk of Gimel v'im ami yoiru. If my people teach bein kodesh l'chol ubein tame l'tahar yodi it should be they. If my people, when it says here, if my people, the s ami, they shall teach. I'm sorry, the s ami yoiru. The kohanim, their role is to be teachers. In fact, the word Kohen literally means a teacher. Does not mean a priest. I think the word we use the word Kohen to mean, when we say the word Kohen, we think a Kohen is someone who's in the Beis HaMikdash, he's on top of the Mizbeach, and he's offering meat on the Mizbeach in the fire. That's not really what it means. A Kohen's the prime, that's what he does. But the primary transition word Kohen means teachers. The Atem Tihiyun Li Mamleches Kohanim, a Mamleches of Kohanim. Does that mean every single person in Klal Yisrael is a priest? How could the Pasuk say the word a Mamleches, a kingdom of Kohanim? So I believe you look there in the Arachayim or in the Kliyakar, or maybe both, they actually there spell it out, that the fact that the Pasuk says in this fashion, Mamleches Kohanim, teaches us that the real translation of the word Kohanim means a teacher. And Klal Yisrael, the role of Klal Yisrael was meant in Matan Torah to be the moral conscience of the world. We, just our existence, we are teachers. Our behavior, our conduct, is an Or L'Goyim. Teachers. So here, okay, we're teachers for the world at large. But who are our teachers? Who are our teachers? The Kohanim. The Kohanim with the Melamdim. Okay, it wasn't like today. Today, anyone who wants to be a Rebbe can be a Rebbe. Anyone who everyone living in the world, everyone you can be whatever you want to be. But in time of Chazal, time of the Beis Hamidrash, I mean, people also could be, anyone could be what they want to be, also to a certain degree. But generally, the system was set up that Kohanim would be the ones that have the first rights to be teachers in for Klal Yisrael. And that's what's over here. Explore the S. Ami, they will teach. What's the primary teacher? Bein Kodesh L'chol, to the friendship between Kodesh L'chol. Bein Tamil Latar Yodi They will make known to them these matters. From Mitzvah of Pasuk Chav Gimel, the S. Ami Yairu Hakayhanim Liyamdu S. Am LaHavdil Bein Kodesh L'chulin Ugam Yodi HaHavdil. They will also make it known to them. I have the difference between Bein Tamil Latar, between Tame and Tahar. Okay, let's see Rashi. Pasuk says, Pasuk, there is no Rashi. And let's see the Malbim. Let's just read the Malbim. The Malbim over here in Pasuk of Gimel says, Yairu, Shahim, Yigam, Kain, Amoyrim. They are going to be the teachers. Bein Medini Kadashim, Bein Medini Tumma, Batara, Vihine, Dine Kadashim, Musam, Lurak, Lokayanim, Shaiskim, Bohem. He goes on to say, the Dine Kadashim, that only applies to Kohanim. The Alzeh Amar Es Ami Yaru Aval Dinei Tumah V'Tahara Yedu Gam Bnei Yisrael Kamo Shahayu Bnei Chizkiyo Shahayu Kulam Mikiyim Bidinei Tumah V'Tahara Rak Shehem Yodi Im Noga Eze Tumah. They, the Kohanim, will make it known if Noga Eze Tumah, if it touched, it relates to Tumah. Chama Osh Amar Chazal Doas Ze Seder Tahara. So he's asking a very basic question in the Malbim, and that is, what they're teachers, but what do they teach? So they only teach Kodesh and Chol. That's their expertise. They are the experts in Kodoshim. What about Tumah V'Tahara? That's not their expertise. Tumah V'Tahara is something that every people among Yisraelim, we find it in Chizkiyoh. In the time of Chizkiyoh, he thrust a sword on the top of the Beis Medrash, and he told the people, anyone that does not send their children to learn Torah in the Beis Medrash will be pierced by this sword, will be killed by this sword. And it says, Batku midon gan be'er sheva, v'loi matzu, tinik li tinoikes, shloho yubikim be'tumah v'tahara. And they were experts in Tumah V'Tahara. So you see from that Chazal that even the common man is the baki in Tumah V'Tahara. So what then does it mean over here in this pasuk over here that says Ubein Tamei L'Tar Yodi That's not their role. They're not exclusive. They don't have an exclusive Tumah V'Tahara. They have an exclusive Kodesh V'Tahara. So the Malbim over here is trying to answer. I don't know what his answer is. I don't know. Maybe you can help me. He says here Im Noga Eze Tumah. Rak Shehem, they will make it known to them if something has become Tame. I don't know what he means. I don't know what he means. He means that some kind of side issue related to Kodesh V'chol. If you're dealing with Kodesh V'chol, Kodshim, sometimes Kodshim also become Tami. In the world of Kodshim, there's also Tumah V'Tahara. But generally, Tumah V'Tahara, that's not their forte. That is for the entire Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Chadal. Rabbi Yaski, I'm going downhill. Okay, so you're gonna take over, okay? Okay, so you'll do the last half an hour. What?
Tomorrow won't be.
Alright, so we'll see. We'll be tomorrow. Okay, we'll just take one day at a time. Pasuk Avdal, Vyalriv, with regard to disputes. Heima Yamdu Lemishpat, they will stand in judgment. Bemishpatai, Yishpituhu, Vyestarasai, Vyestarasai, Bechol Moadai, Yishmaru, and they will. My laws and my chukim, they, and all my moadim, they will guard the Shabbos. Yikadeshu, they will sanctify my Shabbos. Okay, so let's see over here. Mitzudos pasuk of Gimel, the role of the Kohanim, Chavdal, the Alriv, the Aldin Mamoin Yaamdu, Ha'am Lifnehem, Lemishpat, Vegam Yishbetu, Bimishbetay HaTorah, Lo Lifi Oimdan HaDa'atam. The Mitzudos obviously learns that the Kohanim, they were in charge of all matters of halacha, not just kachin. Everything they were, it was their authority to decide all matters. Next words of the mitzvot: V'esfer asai hatayva sachukim hanhugim v'chol yimei moadei Hashem b'dvar hakavanos yishmaru heim lasayis v'chein l'gikatshu es hashabosayis b'dvar hakavanos habos chayv l'yoyim. They would guard all matters of karbanos, and all matters were under their jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's their expertise, right?
Well, he's saying everything.
And is this for the... Well, I know, but maybe that could be true in the future. But in fact, for example, Bnei Yisachar were the...
Right, so everything... There was,
the deciders of...
Right, that's an old issue. Look, Yaakov, he sent out... Who did Yaakov send to establish a Beis Medrash?
Yehuda.
Yehuda is not the Bital Mechacham. Yehuda is the Melech. Yisachar Chamar Gorem. What about Don? Chazal say Don is Lashon Din. They enjoyed a good din Torah. So they were experts. They were judges. The Shevet Dan, Chazal say they were leaders in the judicial system. So was it Yisachar? Was it Dan? Was it Yehuda? So obviously everyone in Klal Yisrael is a chelik in Torah. Everyone has their unique.
Some are more equal than others.
And there you have Levi. And look what's going on over here. Here the Pesukim are very clear. The Kohanim were teachers. I mean, so you have already four Shvatim. Four Shvatim, which Chazal very clearly express, were very learned, very involved in the learning of Klal Yisrael. So obviously, there are different dimensions, you know, there are different types of people. There's, not everyone is a Paisek. To be a Paisek is a specialty. To be a Paisek, you know, it's a certain approach to Halacha. Then there are Lamdanim, people that they know, they delve into the Lamdanim, they're teachers, they teach children, or they teach adults, they teach them the depth of Torah. That's not the forte, the Paschal Halacha. I think of Chaim Soloveitchik. He was not a Pesach. The Brisk, they were not, I think when they made of Chaim Soloveitchik the Rav in Brisk, part of the condition was that he will not Paschal in a single Shiloh. That was the condition. I'll be the rabbi, but I will not decide any halachic matters. And they brought in a Dayan, it was the Dayan of Brisk. Because the Soloveitchiks, Anayov Hazek, cannot, I mean, that's not true, I can't think, because my uncle, he's a very person, he's a Soloveitchik, but a lot of the Soloveitchiks could not Paskin. That's the nature, since they know so much.
They're Svedinim.
There are two sides.
Right.
They cannot bring themselves to Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba the Hilchasa. It's a nature. And they readily admit it, and that's their nature. There's certain, that's a certain certain type of a person.
That's the argument between Okeharim and
Sinai.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, even that, because there's a person that's a Sinai, doesn't mean he can pass
it
either.
Yeah, but still,
it's a specialty.
Think about it. You know, you could define something, otherwise you're ripping things apart and say, I listen, you play devil's advocate with everything, and you don't know what to say.
You have to make a decision.
Okay, so let's... Theoreticians and the practical people.
Yeah, but obviously they have a very, very powerful role in teaching. Let's see, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Now we go to more laws. V'yel Neis Adam Lo Yavo L'Tama Ki'im la'av, ule'im, may not come into contact with the dead. We hear there's seven exceptions. Ki'im la'av, ule'im, ule'bein, ule'bas, la'av, brother, ule'achois, what kind of sister? Asher lo'achoisa le'ish, only a sister that was not married. Yitamahu. Now what about a wife? That it does not say, isn't that interesting? Does not make mention of a wife. That is very interesting. It does say. It says it's kiim l'sheiroi, kiim l'sheiroi ha'karoi ve'lov.
We derive from a mitzvah ameis that he has to bear.
Ameis mitzvah. No, but it says also kiim l'sheiroi. It says befeirush kiim l'sheiroi ha'karoi ve'lov. And Chazal and Rashi on the spot says ishtoi. That a kohen is allowed.
But in the pasuk.
The word she'ero, she'ero means a wife. The word she'ero means a wife. You have to look at the pasuk. So here it makes no mention. This is very bizarre. It makes no mention of a wife. Pasuk let's see pasuk chavav let's see them together. V'yacharei tarasai after he can and now after he purifies himself. Shivas yamim yisperu lo. After his purification, he shall count 7 days. He goes to mikvah, and then he has to count 7 clean days. 7 days, and the sprinkle the hazah, of course, on day 3 and day 7, the parah aduma. And it's bizarre that there's no mention of the parah aduma water being applied to him during these 7 days. Let's see these two sugma chafein, Mrs. Zdavir chafein. L'tama, l'tami esatma, asher l'loha yisrael ish, l'mishkaf ha-mishko. What is over there? This is telling us over here. He seems he's saying over there, shloi kedarka, this is his parasha of Rivka, that he's saying over here, okay, whatever this means. Okay, whatever it means. Pasuk avav, v'achrei tonasai, v'tun aloi v'achrei p'rishasai, min ha-meis, kein amu razal, so the chazal says, shivas yamim, v'achrei zehu tohar, his tohar, yisperu, v'tun aloi mar, Echav hakoyhanim yisperu. Now this is very strange. His brothers yisperu lo sheim shachachu lo yanichu him likones lemigdash ad achar shivas yamim v'yitar. What in the world is he saying over here? You ever have such a concept in the Torah? You ever have such a thing? Nowhere. Who counts? The person is tameh. So we trust you. You count yourself. No one's watching. Eid echad neman biisurin. A person is believed to say what the halach is. If someone comes to you and he says, is this food kosher? Is this piece of meat kosher? Yes. I need two witnesses. Prove it to me. You have two witnesses? They can testify in front of a court that it was a shechita, there was a malicha, they can remove the chelef, everything is kadas to chedin. No. Trust me. That's halacha. Eid echad neman b'isurin. Here it says that if the guy forgets, so there's a backup system in place. His brothers are watching. They're watching, they're counting the 7 days to make sure that 7 days have passed since he came in contact with the dead. What is going on over here? I don't know. It's very, very bizarre. That's what he says, Hasim Shat, because it says over here in Lashon Rabim. It says, Yispiru lo. They, the precise grammatical translation of what he means, they will count for him. And what does the Mitzvah say? What? Since when does someone else count for you? You have a Nida where other people are keeping track for her? A person is trusted, a person has a system, and a person is trusted to count for themselves.
An honor system,
exactly. So very good, right? So since we're over here, a person becomes Tameh, you have to report for duty, report to the Kohanim, declare that you're Tameh, and they're going to keep track. They're going to put a bracelet around your ankle and watch where you go and make sure there's no contamination and keep track of how many days have passed and so on and so forth. That's what it says. Let's see. That's how the Mitzvah Shalom Shalom the Pasuk Rashi. Pasuk Chavav Yachay Torah Asay Achar Prishas Min Ameis Kach Shmuyah B'Moed Katan. After he separates from the dead, then he counts 7 days. And what's the Chiddush? Of course. Okay, so we'll see about one moment. So Chav Zayin, so one more Pasuk. That's all the Rashi. Let's see the Malam. Very good. Let's see the Malam. Pasuk Chavav Yachay Torah Asay Omnam Yasu Lohem Geder Acher Sha'achar ha-tahara mitumas ha-meis lo yikonsu tekef lamidash rak yamtinu shiva yamim. Okay, so he learns over here a whole new halach. The Rambam over here is going to Shitasa because the Rambam over here came out. He said, well, let's see Pasuk Chafei first. Let's see the Rambam Pasuk Chafei because he has more chidushim. Pasuk Chafei in the Rambam be'al meis adam v'kiim lav v'leim sha'agam sh'ikablu alatzam zirus yisayim k'an gadol b'chol zos yitamu l'kravim ki tumas kravim mitzvah. And all the chumras is not a bittul mitzvah. Okay, so he learns that the previous pasuk is referring to the Kohanim had Yodos, and he learns like we learned in the we learned this in the Radak, same idea as the Radak as El Asalavo, the Kohanim had Yodos are going to accept upon themselves new stringencies, and among the new stringencies are that they're not going to marry an almana. They're only going to marry an almana from a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot, but they're not going to marry an ordinary almana. So therefore, maybe they may get swept away and think they're Kohanim Gedolim. And if you go back to what we learned last week, the belt of the Kohen Hedyot is also going to be like the Kohen Gadol. So they may think the Hechad mentioned, they're not going to contaminate themselves for their seven closest relatives, just like a Kohen Gadol does not contaminate himself for his seven closest relatives. So what he's saying over here is, just because you're on a higher spiritual level, does not give you the right to deny your relatives what they are entitled to. Reminds me of a story where I heard this from Aaron Rakefet. So he was told that, I think, in Lakewood, and he learned in Lakewood for a very short period of time. He was there during Elul, and he remembers in those days, there were people in Makabal on a tiniest dibur during Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, they did not talk. They did not talk the entire Chodesh Elul divrei chol. You only talk tefillah and learning. If you go to the dining room and you want salt, and there's salt, so you bang on the table and you point at the salt, someone should pass you the salt. So he said he was very disturbed where there was a person who did not see his parents. His mother came to visit him, and his mother just happened to come to visit him during Chodesh Elul. And he was makabel upon himself, the tiny steeper for Chodesh Elul, not to talk for all 40 days. So he didn't talk to his mother. He wrote to his mother, he's a tiny steeper, and he can't talk to his mother. So he says, frumkeit is a very good thing. It's a very good thing, you know, it's a dhamma positive to be very religious. You want to be makabel tiny, it's a gewaldige thing, tiny steeper. Halavai, we should take a tiny steeper a little bit and try it out. We would solve a lot of problems with a tiny steeper. But at kedei kach, that if your mother comes to visit you, you know what greater mitzvah is there than kibud avaim? So that was an abuse in his view. That was an abuse of frumkeit. This is krumkeit. So over here, that's exactly what the pasuk here is teaching. According to the Rambam, was saying something very, very profound. The Rambam is saying the sequence of the psukim. We just learned 3-4 psukim teaching us that the kohanim had yoytos la'asa lavo are going to be elevated to the madrega of a Kohen Gadol. The clothing is going to be identical to the Kohen Gadol. They are not going to marry women, only going to marry exclusive women. They're not going to marry the ordinary woman, just like the Kohen Gadol. Pasuk Chesed says, don't get carried away. Okay, you want to be like a Kohen, you can be mekabel to Sefes Kedusha, but when it comes to your family, if Rachman al-Litzlan, the person has to mourn for his parents, and that involves contaminating yourself. It's a mitzvah to contaminate yourself to a mother, father, to the seven relatives. Don't get carried away and, oh, I'm a Kohen Gadol. I'm not allowed to contaminate my mother and my father. You see, over here, Beferish, HaYecheskel is putting everything in the right perspective. Don't go to the extreme. Don't use your religion, your frumkeit, the chumrus, you call upon yourself. It should not become abusive when it comes to dealing with other people. It's a very powerful idea.
Last week you said the only thing to go extreme is integrity.
What?
I was saying last week you said the only thing to go extreme with
is humility. Me'oid me'oid have shal ruach. Very, very, very.
He said integrity.
Integrity. Integrity.
You
can
overdo the humility.
What? Me'oid have shal ruach. That's in the very pretty obvious. Okay, so this is really gewalt what the Bible was saying. It's really, really powerful stuff. Get ready. That far you don't go. Okay, then he goes on to Pasuk Chavav, and he says over here, and Chavav, he says, Amnam, another chumra is even when they do become tamei and they become tahar, he's saying a whole new chiddush, which means they already had the paraduma day 3, day 7, and they went to mikvah at Harav Shemesh, they still don't go into the Beis HaMikdash for an additional 7 days. Why not? It's obviously a frame of mind that the tahara, you makbid on tahara not just for 7 days, you makbid on tahara for 14 days. It's an amazing idea. Look, Nashim is manas that the levels of chumra in nida today are also very, very extreme. Technically, a woman has a tipas dam show, so she only doesn't have to do anything, just to keep track at the end of 7 days. So she goes to mikvah and she's finished minatayra. So every woman b'zman hazev views herself as being a zava gedola, which requires zayin nikiyim. And that's a very big chumrah. That's the halachah l'maaseh. Tiba stam kechardel. A woman has to observe 7 clean days. So you see, even a token of this idea, even b'zman hazeh, for generations, that noshim b'zman hazeh accept upon themselves an extreme degree of chumrah when it comes to matters of tumah v'tahara. So the halachah l'maaseh, you know, when it comes to certain types, certain situations where a woman cannot, or her cycle is such where she cannot become pregnant. The doctor tells her she cannot become pregnant if she follows the laws of nida. This is an old big issue that we all write about, is that women complain, is that if he follows the laws of Nida, it diminishes your chances of becoming pregnant. So there's a lot of studies on this, many studies on this, but in certain situations it's true for certain types of women who are have a unique situation, and then Rabbanim have to deal with allowing these types of women who are very unique in their medical status to relax the extreme chumras that women apply b'zman hazeh, which are tiba stam kechardel, has the status of a zava gedola, which requires shleisha 7 nikiyim, zayin nikiyim, have sektar of zayin nikiyim, to fall back on the din Torah, which would allow her to have more of a chance of having a child in the kind of the mitzvah of pre-revia. So, interesting idea over here, the Koyham over here, they're observing Kodesh Mamon an additional 7 days. Pasuk of Zayin, Uviyoyim Bo, El HaKodesh, El HaKodesh, El HaKodesh, El HaKodesh, when they enter into the Beis HaMikdash, L'Shosh HaKodesh, Yakrev Chatas, Soy, they will offer their Kom Chatas, Nu Masham Kim, they will offer, now what is this? What's going on over here? Yakrev Chatas, all these stuff over here are really, really very, very strange. The two stuff, Pasuk of Zayin, what's the Kom Chatas referring to? Uviyoyim Bo, return to Lamar, B'tchilas, B'yas, HaKodesh, L'Shanich, Mavoid, whole new halacha. Mitzvah Stavit is injecting the Pasuk things that doesn't say anywhere. We're dealing here with the inauguration of a Kohen Hedyot. First day on the job. Doesn't say anything, doesn't say this in the Torah. This is a new din, this is a new thing, Lasalava. This is the first day, Elochot Zabinimus, Ezra's Kohanim, Asher Shom Mizbeach, Yakriv Chatasai, Zehu Asiris Soefa. This is the tenth of the Eifa, Shehi HaKoyanim HaKoyim B'yom HaChinuch K'mo Shnemar Zekarbon Arnu Bona B'yom Yimashach Oysoi Asiris Eifa Sos. So this is Minchas Chavit, so I take it back, I made a mistake, but it's not a Karbon Chatas, that's what I'm going to off, is that they offered a Minchas Chavitin, a Kohen Gadol, every single day offers what is called a Minchas Chavitin. In Yisorayin, a tenth of an Eifa of flour, it's broken up into two parts. Half is offered in the morning, and half is offered in the afternoon. A Kohen Hedyot, the first day he does Avodah, he brings a Minchas Chavitin. He brings a Minchas. And in fact, a Kohen Gadol can bring on one day, what is Allah, how many Minchas Chavitin? Is it three? Is that the case? Can bring, if a Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol and never has no experience, it's like Lahavdal Elif Alpha Avdalus, a billion times over. A person that becomes the President of the United States that never one day served, never ran for any office. Right? So you've reached the highest office and you've never been elected, even in elementary school, you've not been elected to serve as a whatever they do in elementary school, the class president, the Jews G-O are called
president.
The G-O. The G-O. You never even on the lowest level in elementary school, in sixth grade, you never made it that far. And all of a sudden, you become the President of the United States. So, wow, you've skipped like 25 steps to get there. So the Gemara says, if a Kohen Gadol, I'm not saying it's bad, Michal. And Michal, you know, I'm sorry, and Michal is lying, I'm saying, I'm not saying it's bad, it's good. This is good. But you have in Chazal, a Kohen Gadol, who becomes a Kohen Gadol, he never in his life ever offered even as a Kohen Hedyot. He just never got around to it. And somehow he was elected the office of Kohen Gadol. So how many Minchas Chavitin does he have to offer? Two. He has to offer two. Because number one, this is his first day doing Avodah the period. And number two, a Kohen Gadol. He brings three, the Gemara says. Number one, it's his first day doing Avodah the period. Number two, it's his first day doing it as a Kohen Gadol. And number three, it's his bringing it midin Kohen Gadol. So when you elevate from a Kohen Hedyot to Kohen Gadol, it's also a new chinuch. So he skipped all the steps. If I'm not mistaken, he brings three Minchas Chavitins. The first day. What? No, Kali, what Kali Rabbi? That's not like capital punishment. There's no Kali Rabbi. On the first day he serves the Kohen Gadol, it's also the first day he ever did Avoida. So he brings a total of three. We didn't Kohen Hedit, Kohen Gadol, first day of Kohen Gadol, and a Kohen Gadol brings a Minchas Chavitin. So here we learn over here, Kohen Hedit brings a Minchas Chavitin, and for whatever bizarre reason, Yecheskel is calling this a Karban Chatos. That's not the way we would refer to a mincha. A mincha is never called in the Torah a karban chatos. And here in the Yecheskel, according to the understanding of the Mitzvah Stavu, calling it a karban chatos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, uviyoyim bo, tchilas, tchila, el ha-kodesh, l'schanik l'avoy, the yakin chatosai, zo asius oif ha-shaloi, this is his chatosai. Over here I have my edition, which soon you're going to have very soon when we get to Yitrei Asar. The Sif says the Canaan, and he comes to ask the Kash that I just asked, why is it called the Karban Chatos? So he says, here the word Chatos does not mean a sacrifice. Like a Chatos, it means Lashon Chitui. Chitui means purification. Ukidusha soy, la'avoida so, kach kosav, taisism is better called. In other words, the word Chatos can be used different ways. Either it means a sacrifice, for Yidun Aver, for which is the Chi of Chorus, or it means chitui. Chitui means purification. So that's what it means over here. It means over here that the day of his purification, meaning the day that he has purified himself to enter into the service. The Asir Soifa, the Yom Chinucha Rashi says, Chin Shalemar, Zer Karban Arun Ubanav, Kumo Shofar Shmusechta Menachas, that's what he offers on the very first day of his service. The Radak says, the Lord Radak, Pasuch of Zayin, Uvyom Ala Kodesh, Return Olema, Achash Shigitar, the Yikonis of Kodesh, Shalom, Nichlas Shem Bimei Tumasai, Atin Achne Shigitar, Yaakov Karban Chatos Bavur Tum Asoi. So he's saying a new, he's learning not like Rashi, and he's saying a whole new Chiddush. You notice there's a pattern. There's a pattern going on in the Radak and the Malbim, and not like in the pattern in Mitzvus and Rashi. Rashi and the Mitzvus, as much as they possibly can, they're trying to say nothing will change. Whatever is going to be in the Bayis Shlishi, it's business as usual. There are no shinuim. Rashi is trying very, very hard from finding any differences, and Rashi is going to read the pasuk backwards. He's going to Rashi and the Mitzvus, they're going to take the words and they're going to read them in the words of the pasuk out of order, read the words in unusual translations in order to preserve the halacha that we know is the halacha from the time of the Mishkan Bayis Shlishi. Whereas Radak and the Malum have no problem in explaining, translate the words in this literal translation, and understand that in the Bayis Shlishi, things are different. The rules are different. It's a whole new set of rules that are going to happen. And here I have another example. He says here, a coin became Tame. How did he become Tame? It was an accident. So he happened to happen, someone happened to die. He was in a location where a person died. So the person died, he was in the Oyel HaMeis. He became Tame. So what does he have to do now? Now he has to purify himself. He has to purify not for 7 days, 14 days. Okay, a chumrah, 14 days. And then, when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he brings a Karban Chatos. What? Chul Mazara. No, that's the rule. These are the new set of rules that are going to apply in the times of Mashiach. After that, Achash Yita, Yaakov Karban Chatos, Bavur Tumasa, Zeyi, Yechidush Lasa, Rabbi Zeyi, Zal, Perishush, Beloi Chidush. Okay, Chazal, then he goes to Rashi. They want to learn Pasuk very simply. Niksa some perish, some explain. Yaakov Chatos, like Rashi, and this refers to the Minchas Chavitin. Asir Soifa Shahikon Godal Makov Yom Chol Yom Shlohik Voisa Bimei Tumasai. Amar Shiakri Ven Achre Tarasai. He will now offer it after his tire. So what does that mean? It means that when Kodal was Tamei, it was not offered. Now that he has been reinstated, his tire, so he resumes. I don't think he means he makes it up. Doesn't seem what he does. Is Radak telling us that he has to make it up? I don't know. Doesn't seem so. He just resumes. He resumes to where he left off. So that's the thing they say. This it's a resumption. It's a resumption of the Avoida. Some of them say Yaakov Chatosai Balalamed Shlo Yuchal L'Shloach Karvinoisa Bimei Tumasai. Shenemar uviyoyim boy Yaakov b'zman sheroy lebia roy laakrava v'zman she'ein roy lebia ein roy laakrava. So he's saying a very big chiddush. He's saying is that normally when a person is tamei, are you allowed to ascend a carbon on your behalf? Person ate chalef, so I'm a chayef to be a carbon chatos, Am I allowed to send a shliach to the Beis HaMikdash? Here is the animal. Offer this animal on my behalf. When the kohen asks, where is the person? Where is the one? He can't come. Why not? He's tameh. So that is valid. If I'm not mistaken, that is valid. Even though lechatchila is supposed to smicha, he's supposed to be the smicha. You can't do smicha. You can't do smicha. The teaching over here is that's not the ideal thing. In Lost the Lover, when a person is tameh, he should wait. You should wait until the tumah is over, and then you yourself should come and bring the carbon. You should not have the carbon sent on your behalf in your state of tumah, like was done during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now he goes on to examine these two ideas. Ani tameh. So now he comes to, according to the first interpretation that he gave, the first approach, Levi Mishnah, Rosh Yaakov Chadasai, Zu Yasir Soifa, Valoy Medaber Bekoin Hedyot. Shemitam Lekoivim, what's going on? He says, Shemitam Lekoivim, Yasir Soifa, Koin Gadol Hoya Makriv, Hoya Oisa, Mishaloi Bechol Yoim, Machatzitz, Lebeke, Machatzitz, Lebeerev, Bekoin Hedyot, Lo Hoya Makriv, Oisa, Ele Bishas Chinuch, Avoida, Kolaimar, Biyom Shemas, Lavoid, Bekoin Gadol Hoya Mitam Lekoivim, and he now is having a craving. Vim came ma'hu shamar b'vayim b'olam kodesh. So he just he doesn't like these interpretations because the coin, it's far fetched to say that we're dealing here on the day that the coin hedyot was nischanich for the very very first time. And as far as tum is concerned, the coin gadol, he shouldn't be tummy to begin with. The coin gadol shouldn't be tummy to begin with because the coin gadol is not allowed to contaminate himself to any of his relatives. So why is Yecheskel need to discuss to say that if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei, so he's going to count 14 days or 7 days, whatever it is, and then he's going to come himself and bring Korbanos. Why did he become Tamei? There's no excuse for the Kohen Gadol to become Tamei because he's not Metamei to anyone, not even the 7 closest relatives. Okay, then the last thing, Mashu Yemen, it says Yisbu Loi, the Amar Yispar Loi. What's the plural? Return to Loimar. It's very bizarre is that they're watching. Big Brother is watching. Someone's watching over the Kohen Gadol. They're counting his days. We don't trust anyone to make sure that they are clean. Okay, let's just learn the Malbim. Let's just learn this Malbim, then we'll finish. Malbim Pasuk of Zayin. Pasuk of Zayin. Uviyoyim boy ala kodesh, hinei pershu al minchas chinuch shemaka v'koyim biyom shemischanich lavoida. V'yipole ma mashmein buzetz. Wondrous what it says here. V'zil kri beirafhu. Go ask a child. A child knows this. What is the pasuk? What profound message is Yecheskel coming to teach us? V'nira shedavar zed nitrach gam b'ba yesheni. B'migdash yitztarchu l'havi minchas chinuch mechash. A very, very big chiddush to the Malbim. The Malbim here is saying is that let's think on our own. What would you say if you did not see this Malbim? If a person was living, a kohen hedyot was living at the time of the Bayis Sheni and did avoid his entire life, he already offered a minchas chavitin on the first day that he did avoid it. Then the Bayis Sheni was destroyed. And then, 70 years later, the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt. And this very Kohen Hedyot, who did Avoida in the time of the Bayis Rishon, now comes to the Bayis Sheni. And he does Avoida. Does he have to bring a Minchas Chinuch, a Minchas Chavitim, to be Mechanech his Avoida? I would argue, anyone would argue, of course not. The only time you bring a Minchas Chavitim is the very, very first time you do avoida. But if you've done avoida once, you never ever the rest of your life offer a minchas chavitin. He's saying that's true as long as the Beis HaMikdash has not been destroyed. But if the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed and then a new Beis HaMikdash has been rebuilt and there was a hefsik between the time of the Bayis, one Bayis and another Bayis, The same Kohen who did avoid in the first bias now comes to avoid in the new bias. He has to. It's like he's starting all over again, and he must rebirth. He must offer a new minchas chinuch, and that applies to tchias hamesim as well. Yecheskel will be resurrected. It's not guaranteed he will be the Kohen Gadol. He may just come there as a Kohen Hedyot, and he will want to do avodah. He will have to offer a minchas chavitin as if he's doing avodah for the very, very first time. That is what the pasuk is teaching you. Because if that's not what the pasuk is teaching you, and it's simplistic, everyone knows the first time you offer do avodah, you have to bring a minchas chavitin midin chinuch the inaugural carbon to the avodah. That's how we learn shot in this pasuk. Okay, a lot of mahalach in this pasuk. We're going to stop here, and my Evsky is going to take over.